Okay, so this is a quote. I don't even know really the Rebbe so much, but I like the quotes, I put it in. It's by Rabbi Sacher Ber of Radishitz. I don't know, I never heard of him, but he was a very important Hasidish Rebbe, apparently. But he says a great quote. I'll read it to you. In the morning, arise. An important guest has arrived that was never here before and will never return. Who's the guest?
Time.
Today. Today is the guest. Every single day is a day that will never come back again. We look at days as just like sort of, you know, just morphing one into another, and, you know, days turn into nights, weeks turn into months, months turn into years, and it's just a big glob. But that's not the way we should look at things. Every morning you wake up and say, wow, there's a new guest. And it's a chash of a guest. It's a guest that has never been here before, will never come again. And so you have to treat the guest very nicely. You have to say, okay, let's give the guest everything that the guest expects. And what does the guest expect? What does today expect? Today expects us to get up in the morning and daven, say Maida Ani, daven with a minyan in yeshiva, not a minyan, you know, in the local minyan factory. And then we come to seder. What? Terrible. Terrible local minyan factory. I don't know. When I went to yeshiva, they always said it's better to daven v'yechidas than to go to local shuls. You have to daven in the yeshiva that you learn in. That's what they say. Is it true? I don't know. It's probably better to daven with a minyan. But in case, because I know if I don't say it, then everyone's going to say, okay, great, I don't have to daven with a minyan. So you're right. It's better to daven minyan, but it's much better to daven yeshiva minyan. Because this is where you're, if this is where you're learning, this is where you're davening. Now the question is, are you learning here? You have to, that's the next thing on. You have to learn here. You have to be here every morning. You have to be here every night. You gotta not have to, you should want to be here. And yeshiva is basically, it's like a balloon. If you want to blow it up and make it into a nice big balloon, then that's what it's going to be. If you want to just leave it like a limp piece of plastic and just like discard it, or like, that's what it is. It's not, yeshiva is not something that like, it's here and you know, and I'm here. Yeshiva is whatever you're doing to make it into yeshiva. So if you want to make it a geshmaki yeshiva, you want to make it like a place that you can learn, a place you can have a great time, a place that you could daven and grow and learn, and you know, then that's what it's going to be. And if you're just going to look at it like a pain in the neck, and I'm just here to get my college degree and learning, you know, is if I learn a little here and there, that's fine, then that's what it'll be. And it really... you know, it really behooves us, once we're here, we should chaperein. We're not going to be able to be in yeshiva forever. There's going to be a day that comes, we're going to have to, you know, be married and have a job and this and that, and it's going to be a pain, you know, to do that. And you're going to say, wow, why when I was in Lander from 2023 till 2025 or whatever it is, why didn't I chaperein? Why didn't I do more to capitalize on these special years? And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get inspired a little bit, great Jewish inspiration, and try to get into the mood of being able to grow and learn and take life by the horns. Is that an expression? Take life by the horns? Yehuda? Ever heard of it?
I don't know.
Okay. Sounds good though, right? You take life by the horns. You take it and you make it into a great life. You know, life is literally whatever we all have challenges. We all have a lot on our plate, and I have a lot on my plate. You have a lot on your plate. There's no question that we could let the things in life that are not so great get us down and like weigh us, you know, down into oblivion and just like, I don't want to do anything. That's sort of always an option. But why would we want to do that? You know, I'm not a young guy, but you guys are young guys. Get up, enjoy life, like chaperein, like make it a beautiful existence. There's no, you know, with all of our challenges, we have to try to like, you know, look at the positive. We're, you know, we're alive and we're healthy and we have a yeshiva to go to, and we should appreciate that and not take it for granted at all. Every day, appreciate it. Take that guest that was never here before, will never come back again, which is today, and make it the greatest day of your life. That's the way that we should be looking at every day. Okay, let's find something else, another quote that sort of ties into that a little bit. Okay, here's a good one. This is a quote from Rabbi Yochum Levavitz. This is one of the greatest Musar rabbis ever. You ever heard of Rabbi Yochum Levavitz? Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, no? No? Rabbi Yochum Levavitz was the Mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, which was, you know, the famous Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is a continuation of that. And he was very inspirational, very powerful, very brilliant. And he quoted from the Chafetz Chaim that the personal development of all Gedolim throughout all generations was only through waging spiritual battles against their evil inclinations and ultimately emerging victorious. So the quote is, greatness is forged in battle. Anyone recognize this picture? It's one of the most famous photographs of American history, of world history, I should say. What's it of?
It's the invasion of Normandy.
Excellent. Whoa, you're good. That's right. Famous photograph of U.S. troops invading Normandy during World War II. Very good. So this is when, can you imagine what they had to do? They were on boats, ships. They had to jump out of the water with all their gear, and go fight the Nazis coming onto dry land, soaking wet. There's Nazis shooting guns at them probably, right? Dropping bombs on them from the air. And they were able to get past them somehow and invade a country. It's nuts, right? It's like not normal. It was a nace. It was purely from Hashem that they were able to beat back the Nazi war machine. But greatness is forged in battle. Greatness is forged in battle, which means that if you don't do battle, then you'll never achieve your personal greatness. It's like, let's say I want to work out in the gym. So I go and they say, Rabbi Bamberger, are you coming to work out? You want to look buff and everything? Yeah, I already am, but like just maybe a little additional. Okay, here is a lazy boy. I want you to just sit down and just chill a little bit. Here's a great Jewish inspiration. Go sit and read that a little bit. And then we'll come back in an hour and see what happens. I was like, is that really going to get me stronger? Is that going to... Obviously not, right? It doesn't do anything. How do you get strong? How do you get great? You get great by like lifting weights and schwitzing and going on the elliptical and going on the rowing machine? Rowing machine, right? And you go on the, that's good, it works. And you go on the treadmill, right? And you hang from some monkey bars or something. I don't know what you do in a gym. Does anyone know what you do in a gym? Has anyone been inside of a gym? No, you have, right? Have you? Where?
Landis.
Ah, very good. Goes to Landis gym. So that's what it is. No pain, no gain. If you're not going to work out, it's not going to ever, you're not going to get the results. And that's the same thing with any time you want to be great in anything, it's going to take a lot of work. In our case, it's not necessarily the work of like, you know, schwitzing and doing that. The work of a Shemitah Torah Mitzvah Jew is a lot of the work and a lot of the battle that you do is the Yetzirah. Very strong Yetzirah today in the world. I don't think I have to tell you about it, but it's strong across the board. We have technology that is crazy what it has on it. We have laptops, we have desktops, we have iPads, iPods, iPods, like whatever. The Yetzirah is fighting with all of its arms, with all of its, you know, all of its firepower every day and every night. And it's very, very difficult under the best circumstances. Even if you're very religious and it's impossible. So there's two choices with the Yetzirah. Either you just capitulate, you say, okay, I surrender, you win, and just do anything that you want and watch anything you want and go wherever you want. That's not the right thing to do. It's not what Hashem wants from us. The other option, which is not easy, but it's the right option, is to fight. And when we're faced with the Yetzirah, I really want to watch something, but it's not appropriate for me to watch. I have to try to stop myself. I'm not going to win every one of those battles. There's going to be battles that I win. There's going to be a lot of battles that I lose. And that's It's not a good thing, but that means we're human beings. That means we have Yetzer, we have Taivis, and sometimes we can't help ourselves and we succumb. That doesn't mean that we should get depressed and you know, fall off the wagon. It just means that we have to fight again, come back and fight and be stronger tomorrow. But when we're able to overcome the Taivis, the Yetzer Hara that we have, more often than not, we get greater and greater and greater. There's a famous letter that Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, wrote to a Talmud. The Talmud was very depressed. And the reason why he was depressed was he felt that he gave in to all of his Yetzer Haras already, and he thought he was going to be a gadol at one point, and now he sees I'm never going to be a gadol, because look, I have such a big Yetzer Hara, and I succumbed to my Yetzer Hara once too many times, and I'm never going to be able to be a great rabbi, a great leader. And Rav Huttner wrote a beautiful letter, and he said that the problem with us, with our generation, is that we're under the false assumption that great people, they don't have a Yetzer Hara. Great. The difference between I'm not a great person, so I have to struggle mightily against this crazy Yetzer Hara that I have, and you know. But then Gedalim, they don't have. They're perfect. They're people that jump out of bed every morning and they go to davening, they go to minyan, they go to seder, and they sit and learn till the wee hours of the night, and they never have to think about, you know, girls or about this or about that. They're just like purely just saintly people, like the Chavetz Chaim. And they were always perfect with their Shmiras HaLashon, with the Lashon Hara, with their Shmiras Inayim. Everything was perfect. And that's the Gadol, and I'm a bum. Rav Huttner writes that the way that Gedalim become Gedalim is precisely the battles that they had to wage. He says, we don't know how hard it was for the Chavetz Chaim to become the Chavetz Chaim. It wasn't like a layup. If it was a layup, then he's a malach. He's not a human being. Well, who cares? You know, are we impressed by malachim that they're so holy? They're up in Shemayim. They're near Hashem. It's not we don't give them a standing ovation. So the Chavetz Chaim was just a malach, so nobody would, why is he a gadol more than Shkayach? If I was the Chavetz Chaim, if I was an angel, I'd also be the Chavetz Chaim. Elamai, he was a human being, and he was obviously an exalted human being, but he definitely had a Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says, Kala gadol mechaveroi, Yitzray gadol heimenu. The greater you are, the bigger your Yetzer Hara is. Can you imagine that? So when you see like a huge gadol, you see Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you see the Stipler, you see Reb Shach, you see Lubavitch Rebbe, whoever it may be, you think, wow, these people, they're holy and they never did it. They had a huge Yetzer Hara. Because since they were, the bigger that they are, the greater the Yetzer Hara always is in proportion with the Yetzer HaTayv. So if you have a great Yetzer HaTayv, that means it's balanced out with the Yetzer Hara. They had tremendous Yetzer Haras. But the reason why they got to where they got was because they didn't just say, okay, I have a great Yetzer Hara, and like nobody understands how big my Yetzer Hara is, so I'm just going to give in. No, they fought it. I don't know if they won every single time, but they obviously won enough to be able to get very high on the totem pole. And we find Amiraim and Tanaim that speak about their Yetzer Hara. I saw recently, I think, I'm not sure who says it, maybe the Chida, that, you know, who are the two famous rabbis in the Gemara that were blind? Anyone know? There's two famous rabbis that were blind in Shas. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. These are two Gedalim that we know, like there's a lot of Gemaras about blind people. It always comes, Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef were two blind Amoraim. You know what they said? And I think the Chidah says it, that, I don't know, this has to be taken with a huge grain of salt, but because they had a lot of challenges with their Shmiras Einayim, you know, with being able to overcome seeing, you know, things that were not appropriate, they sort of blinded themselves that they wouldn't have to have such challenges. You know, if that means it literally, or Hashem made it happen, or I don't know exactly what it means, but the point is, the takeaway is that Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were like the biggest Amiram that we have. We don't have many bigger Amiram than Rav Yosef. They might have been the top Amiram. And Amiram are people that were literally godly. And they, you know, this is before technology, before a smartphone, before, and they were so plagued by Shmir Seinayim issues that they went blind because of it, however it happened. So is it any wonder that, like, we sometimes have Shmir Seinayim issues? Is that like, wow, you know, I'm such a bum? What do you mean such a bum? Are you worse than Rabbi Yisrael Sheshes? Rabbi Yisrael Sheshes didn't have smartphones. They didn't have internet. They didn't have movies. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't have, so it's not like it's not like we're not here to give ourselves a free pass today, but it's not like, but don't look at yourself like so bad because once in a while we slip up. We're trying our best. It's a very difficult thing. It's not an easy thing that, you know, okay, if you have a Yitzhar, that means you're a bum, and if you don't have Yitzhar, that means you're a big rabbi. No, even the bigger rabbis, the biggest rabbis, had the biggest Yitzharas, but they were able, on one way or another, to control it and to rise to the occasion. Every, you know, and at the end they go down in the books as being the greats. We could also be good. Rav Huttner says that, that's the famous Rav Huttner letter where he speaks about, there's a pasuk, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. A tzadik falls down seven times and he gets up. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. That ever, there are like songs about this, right? You fall down, no? Joey Newcomb, anyone know what I'm talking about? You fall down, you get back up. You fall down, you get back up. Anyway, so I shouldn't go into music, right?
Sure.
Okay. So Rav Huttner says, you know, people think that the pasuk means that a tzaddik falls down seven times, but come and he gets up. He's resistant. He's resilient. He has a resilience to him. He falls down seven times. He still is able to get back up. Rav Huttner says, not the pshat on the pasuk. He says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik, a tzadik falls down seven times, V'kam, and he manages to get up because of the seven times that he fell. Because I fell seven times, those failures lead me to my success. A person learns, I think Thomas Edison has a quote that, you know, he tried 1,000 different, he invented the light bulb. And he says, before I invented the light bulb, I tried 1,000 different ways to make a light bulb, and they all failed. He says, but those weren't failures. It was 1,000 steps towards making the light bulb. Failure is not a failure. Oh my gosh, I'm doomed. Failures are ways of learning from your mistakes. And when you learn from your mistakes enough, now you become successful. A lot of billionaires, millionaires, people with successful businesses, they'll tell you, they didn't just strike it rich the first time. They had to go through a few bankruptcies first, a few failed ventures, and eventually they struck on something and it succeeded. But failure was the stepping stones of their success. And if we have Yetzer and we have failures in our life, and we all do, we all have failures, and that's okay. That means we're human beings, it means we have Yetzer, it means we're healthy, but don't say, okay, I mean, therefore what? Because I failed, that means I'm a loser. No, 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 that's not the takeaway today. The takeaway is, those failures that I have, if I look at them in the right way and I study them, I'll be able to use them to my advantage. Just like a person who went bankrupt learns a better way to build a mousetrap, a better product, a better way of advertising, a better way of raising the money, raising the capital, whatever. You learn from your mistakes. You can learn from your mistakes in life, and that's the way to become a great person. Don't ever look at people that are like Gedalim as being perfect because they never did anything wrong. They're perfect because they might have done things wrong. They learned from those mistakes, and they built on them, and they were able to succeed, not in spite of the mistakes, but precisely because of the mistakes. The mistakes helped them find their way to their own potential, to their own great potential. And we all have great potential. Every one of us in this room has great, great potential. We just have to work on seeing things in the right perspective. And like we said, the earlier quote about, when we wake up in the morning, we got to look at a new day and take it by the horns and make it the best day possible. And then tomorrow we do that all over again. And tomorrow we do it, the next day we do it all over again. And before you know it, we're going to be real, real gedolim. We'll be great people because we'll get the ability to squeeze out every day to its fullest and not let all the challenges and the pitfalls that we have in front of us get in the way. But we'll step over them and we'll climb on top of them until we reach the top of the ladder.